This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show, live 4 days a week, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time, here at 93.7 The Ticket. It's still the dawn of a new era. I'm not very good at math, so I've lost track of what day it is. 14? Sounds about right. We're going to go with 14. 3.5 weeks in. Sounds good to me. I think that's actually right. All right, dawn of a new era, day number 14, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty. And producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. All right, I got a few interesting things today. Got a couple of things I want to read from the interwebs. Got some notes, even more, looked more in depth into Matt Rhule's press conference. Got some notes there. We're going to talk about what the black shirts need to do better. How do they do them better? Maybe chat. Just a little bit about halftime adjustments and adjustments as a whole, because it appears to me as though the Big Ten has a full season of data on Tony White's 3-3-5 defense. They've made some adjustments. And now, how do coaches approach adjustments in the offseason, during the season, at halftime? What can Tony White do to adjust to their adjustments? And then back and forth we go, hence why the coaches get paid the big bucks, ladies and gentlemen. We got a little clip we're going to play. Actually, from Miami's defensive coordinator. I know the blasphemy. It was my idea. I was going to throw Jake under the bus, but it was totally my idea. But what he said made sense. Jake was waiting for it, too. He was sitting there waiting for it, too. But I thought what he said made a lot of sense. And actually goes back to what you learn in high school. So we're going to play that here in a little bit as well. The Pac-6. Yep, that's what it is now. I guess they're trying to become something that matters. But they've been rejected as many times, actually more times than they've heard yes. They just got rejected by 6 teams that said, we're not going to come join your little wannabe conference. So they got 4 yeses a week or two ago. They already had Washington State, Oregon State. So even though they have 6 teams, it's only 4 new yeses, and 6 no's. We'll close the show today talking about the Pac-12 being a wannabe conference. With all due respect, I'm going to mock you just a little bit because it's kind of funny. All right, real quick, shout out, all things 93.7 The Ticket. They're on the interwebs, all the social medias, TV, Allo, radio, The Ticket, online, theticketfm.com. Check them out. Also, Carriker Chronicles. Check out CarrikerChronicles.com. It's where all your Husker sports hopes and dreams will come true. It's just science. Jake found that out last night. He went there and all of his hopes and dreams, Husker sports-wise, came true anyways. Got to put Husker sports in there or that could get a little crazy, Jake.
That's right. I don't know what kind of website you're running.
You should go check it out and find out. And then obviously on YouTube, I dropped another show today entitled Will Nebraska Bounce Back, after the show I put out on Sunday, which was titled The Wake-Up Call That Nebraska Needed. All right, before we dive into that, I'm not going to share this because it's fun or I enjoy it. It's depressingly interesting. All right, Nebraska is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, last 8 drives in overtime. They have 0 first downs, 0 points. 2015 Miami. Score was tied 33-33. We had 1 play, no yards, interception. Lost. 2016 at Wisconsin. We were losing when we got the ball. 17-23, 4 plays, 2 yards, turnover on downs. Lost. Northwestern. All right, 2017. We were down, we got the ball, 24-31, 4 plays, negative 2 yards. Good Lord. Turnover on downs, 2018 Northwestern, tied 31-31, 4 plays, 9 yards, almost got the first, lost. 2019 at Colorado, 31-31 overtime, 3 plays, negative 6 yards. Oh my God, it was negative 29 yards versus Illinois. I said 30. All right, so I'm going to do some quick math here. Let's see, carry the 1, carry the 5, all right. We are, in our last eight overtime possessions, we have negative 20 yards. Yeah, I'm just going to, I don't know what to say after that. I mean, I can keep going through all of these, but that's basically the crux of it. All right, Michigan State, no first down. Wisconsin, the next, no first down. Negative 1 yards. Illinois, no first down, four plays, minus 29 yards, lost. Okay, again, I don't share that because it's fun. It's depressingly interesting. Not everything that's interesting is positive, ladies and gentlemen. But I did think this was amusing. You can follow at Huskguys on X and Facebook. All right. And here's what they put. I'm just going to read the post as they put it. Wife, what's wrong? Me, nothing. Wife, what's wrong? Something is wrong. Me, nothing is wrong. Wife, tell me. Me, well, I thought we had a top 10 defense that was going to carry us all season. If we could make a chip shot field goal, we would have finally won a one-score game, and we are struggling to find our identity as a team, and you haven't even asked me once about any of that. It's like you don't even care. Oh, it's like he's been married for a while. All right. The next positive thing that I will give you, or humorous, that was supposed to be humorous. If you're married, it's hilarious. If you're not, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But here's a positive thing. And Dylan Raiola continues to exceed expectations. His rankings in the Big Ten, passing-wise. Number 2 in touchdown passes with 8. Number 3 in completions with 83. Number 4 in passing yards with 967. And number 5 in the Big Ten Conference when it comes to completion percentage at 72.2%. All right. I've found some things that are interesting. Some things that hopefully you found were humorous. Some things that were positive. Now let's chat about Tony White. Is that clip ready, Jake?
Yep.
I have a tendency to send Jake clips like 5 minutes before the show. Hey, can we run this in like 10 minutes? And he's been all over it. Producer Jake does a phenomenal job. All right. We're going to run the clip. Now, this is Miami's defensive coordinator. I'm Guidry. Sorry. I tried to learn how to pronounce his name. But when he was asked if halftime adjustments are a real thing or just something that people say, something every defensive coordinator needs to hear, as said by Miami's D coordinator. Go ahead and roll that clip, Jake.
This is what I found. I found out that through my years, this is just my experience, not anybody else's, but you look at film and you watch it, and you have a plan of how you're going to stop it. And when you come out to play against them, they're not going to do that. They're going to have something else. So you have to be able to fix the problems before halftime. If you fix the problems before halftime, they'll probably go back to the things you saw on film. If you haven't stopped the problems, then your job as a coordinator is to fix the problems at half because they're coming back to it. Once you fix the problem, they'll go back to what you've seen on film. And to me, that's where you make your money as a coordinator. You don't make it on the weekends. You have to be able to game plan, but you also have to be able to adjust in game and know exactly what to go to by what they're doing. And a lot of times that comes from experience of just seeing it. And to tell you the truth, my high school experience has probably helped me more than any of my college experience, because you start off defending option football, wing tee, empty. You see everything in high school. Everybody copycats, and you'll see one offense 1 week and you never see that offense again. So that's kind of where you cut your teeth, you know, as a coach. I found that's my track anyway.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Miami defensive coordinator Lance Guidry. They're a top 10 team. My preseason pick to go 11-1, win the ACC, and get a top 4 bid in the college football playoff. Looks relatively good so far. A lot of ball left to play. But there's a lot of truth in that statement, because we spend all this time watching film and preparing for our opponent. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to start the game in something different. They're not stupid. They're over there game planning you too. Okay, every week we put in something new on defense. Every week the offense puts in something new. It's based on one of two things. Either you want to change up what you've been showing your opponents, or you've seen something in your opponent that you want to try to exploit by doing something new to them, or a combination of both. I'll never forget my sophomore year. We went and played at Oklahoma. They were number 3 in the country. And look at my redshirt freshman year. I can't remember. I played so many games. I played football for over 20 years. I'm pretty sure I have CTE, and I can't believe I can do a coherent sentence. It was one of the years that we went to Norman. There was only 1 year. I believe it was my sophomore year. I'm pretty sure now that I think about it. But our defensive coordinator said, Oklahoma is not only going to put in new things. They're not only going to put in some new plays. They have a whole new formation each and every single game with a whole set of 15 plays out of that new formation. So we basically prepared for what we had seen and what we thought we were going to see, and a formation that we weren't sure what it was going to be until the first few plays of the game. So he is 100% correct, Coach Guidry, in the fact that they're going to throw something new at you. And if you don't stop it, they're going to keep coming back to it. If it ain't broke, I always say don't break it. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it. In my world, if it ain't broke, don't go breaking the thing. Now, if you stop it at halftime, they're going to come out and they're going to go back to what they were doing before you played them. But going into halftime, if you ain't stopped it, they're going to keep doing it until you stop. My point is, in-game adjustments, in-season adjustments, off-season adjustments are a lot easier because you have months to do them. In-season, you have more time, but as you can imagine, football coaches ain't got a lot of extra time during the season. In-game adjustments are the most challenging because it's live, it's going fast, and for obvious reasons. Here's what I'm getting at. The biggest thing the black shirts need to do, to me, it's two parts. Number one, they need to look at themselves, and they need to say, we're not being physical enough up front. We're not tackling well enough. And we can't be leaving guys wide open in man coverage. Man coverage can be a little bit confusing. There's a reason offenses shift and motion and do all this BS crap before the snap. It's to try to confuse you, especially if you're in man coverage. Are you running with the receiver? Are you passing it off? Does everybody pass off the man correctly to their next new man? Bam, the ball snapped. Is it a run? Is it a pass? Is it a play action pass? Crap, this guy's really fast or this guy's really big. It's what offenses try to do. They try to put you in a predicament. It's why they're getting paid the big bucks over there as well. Clearly, Big Ten offenses have had an offseason to watch what the 3-3-5 defense is. And Tony White's a good football coach. That has not changed. To be clear, has not changed. They have adjusted to us. Now, it's Tony White and his staff's opportunity to adjust to them in season and in the middle of games if need be. And the need will be there throughout games, as I'm sure you're all aware of. So what I'm getting at is the black shirts need to look at themselves, look in the mirror, and be brutally honest. What are we not doing well? We're not being physical enough up front. We're not tackling well. And we're not disciplining the back end because we're leaving guys running wide open in man-to-man defense.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Address those things first, and then on game day versus Purdue, versus Rutgers, Indiana, Ohio State, and you see what they're doing, and you got to be able to adjust in the middle of the game because they've clearly come with a new, updated, changed, and apparently improved game plan for the 3-3-5 defense. So the question is, how much better can we be at the things that we haven't done great just yet? And to be clear, this is still a pretty good defense. But expectations come with responsibility. They were a very good defense last year. 9 returning starters, 7 starting seniors, and every single starter on that team is an upperclassman, junior or senior. The expectation is that you will be equivalent to and or probably much better than you were a year ago because you have so many people coming back, starting with the defensive line. The defensive line was such a question mark last year. Ty Robinson was the only guy with any real experience. Nobody else had any. And then the defensive line turned out to probably be the strength of the whole team. Well, their whole 2-deep came back. So the assumption is you're going to be equivalent to and or greater than the assumption is you're going to be better than you were last year. And everyone's coming back. So am I saying that they're playing horribly? No. Based on our expectations, are they meeting them? No. They need to address what they're not doing well. They need to embrace the expectations and the responsibilities as an honor, because that's what it is. Expectations with responsibilities go hand in hand, and it's an honor, and they need to get better at the 3 areas I've mentioned. Being more physical up front, tackling as an overall whole, communicating and being disciplined in the back end. Tony White, a 2-time Broyles Award nominee. That's Assistant Coach of the Year in America, ladies and gentlemen. He's a good coach. It's time for him to make adjustments to what other teams are doing to us. And I look forward to seeing what he can do and what he come up with. Now, the question is, how long does it take for him to make successful adjustments? It took opposing Big Ten offenses an entire offseason. Sometimes you can do them in the middle of a game. Sometimes you can do them at halftime. Sometimes it takes during the season and a couple of weeks to figure it out. I 100% believe Tony White's going to make good adjustments. The question is, will it be by Saturday? Will it be during Saturday? Will it take 2 to 3 weeks? I really hope it doesn't go into the offseason, and I'd be surprised if it does. But those are the biggest things the Black Shirts need to address, need to improve on, and need to work on, in my humble opinion. All right, Jake. Agree, disagree, what did I miss, where am I wrong, where am I right, what you got?
No, I completely agree, and that's going to be the interesting thing moving forward, and I kind of brought this up earlier, is that you remember the 2009 defense, which we hold in very high regard, and as well we should. I think they gave up 31 to Texas Tech at one point. So, mm-hmm. Some of these, even great defenses stumble. I'm not, comparing this defense to 2009 defense quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hopefully can be, used as a lesson in moving forward. And clearly, I think you're right, though. I think it is time that the adjustments need to be made, because it feels like they've kind of caught up to that. Hey, we could just, like you said, the offseason idea of, hey, everybody's coming back, defense should be better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's in a world where nothing else changes.
Yep.
And there's things changing all around you with the opponent's scouting.
Yeah, you're never staying the same. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. Other people apparently got better when it comes to understanding what we're doing on defense, so now we've got to respond. And I look forward to seeing how that process unfolds. All right, again, look at a little bit more in depth at some of the things Coach Rhule had to say yesterday. Now, there's some guys banged up. There's some injuries, all right? Don't know what we're going to get from Mazuka. He's healthy. He can play. Really good player. Really strong-willed individual. I don't have a ton of details. What I do know, I'm not going to dive into. What I have been informed on is he is strong-willed. He's been doing things a certain way for a while. And there's a acclimation period that is going on because Matt Rhule has a culture and there needs to be a coming together between the two. And I'll leave it at that. All right. When he's on the field, he's a good player. But obviously, there's a culture in the building, and it's for everybody. All right. Now, whether Micah Mazuka plays or not, whether obviously Turner's probably going to be out for a while. We got some other guys banged up. Tommy Hill's day-to-day. It's next man up mentality. All due respect to Purdue. This is a game where we should be able to have our next man step up, and we should be able to play well, and even if it's not Purdue. Like, they have created depth on the defense. We have more depth on this team than we've had in a long time, at least in certain spots. All right. So, next man up mentality. One of those guys is Zaire Wright, and here's what Coach Rhule had to say. He said, and I quote, "I thought he played really well. He forced a fumble. He had tight coverage on the one he had the pass interference call on. Tight coverage on the sideline. He played with energy and physicality. He played really well." End quote. Next man up. Space Jam up. He was in the last Space Jam movie. For those who don't know, the USC transfer actually started 15 games for the Trojans. Now, the knock would be, well, USC didn't play defense for 2 years. Okay, that's fair. They're above average now. And here's what I know. Zaire has played a lot of ball, and he played really well on Saturday the moment he was asked to step into the game. And you never know. It's hard to stay ready at all times. You never know what's going to happen. All right, on Gunnar Gutula stepping in and playing, Coach Rhule said, and I thought he played really well. Unfortunately, time got away from us, and that affected us. But even that was a twist move. Talking about a couple of pass rush stunts, ends, tackles, doing some stunts up front. All right, we need a little bit more help there. I thought Gunnar Gutula came in and filled in well, end quote. So he's probably a guy we're going to be relying on. They're trying to figure out who's going to go to that tackle spot. If Mazuka plays, is it him? Is it Litovsky? Is it Gutula? Going to have to see. All right, next up, and this kind of pertains to the run game a little bit, something Illinois had not been great at before Friday. And I quote, they have a lot after contact. I think you mean yards. A lot after contact. I believe at halftime they had 31 yards rushing. That is correct, by the way. They had a lot more than that at the end of the game. It was really in the second half, because I remember addressing that. We predicted it. They were going to go tempo, no huddle. They were going to run RPO. They spelled it out, our PO. It's RPO, my friends, who typed this up. They adjusted as the game went on, and they found more runs. They ran some crack tosses. They ran some different things. At the end of the day, we didn't get off the blocks and win third downs. End quote. That's the key part. Okay, every human being is created equal. Every down in football is not. First down, with all due respect to second down, is more important than second down. Third down, with all due respect to first and third down, is more important than both those downs. Unless you're getting like 9 yards of play on first down, then everything else becomes a lot easier. All things being relatively equal, third down is the most important down. Nebraska struggled to get off the field, all right, versus Northern Iowa, and they struggled to get off the field versus Illinois in our last contest. And we're going to put the Illinois game to bed here pretty soon. But they had, what did he say, 31 yards rushing in the first half. Because I remember we had more total yards, we had more rushing yards, we had more first downs in the first half. By the end of the game, Illinois had five more first downs than us. We had the time of possession advantage by almost 10 minutes at halftime. By the end of the game, we won it by roughly 30 seconds, which means they had the time of possession advantage in the second half by 10 minutes. They converted over 50% of their third downs. They were converted two-thirds of their fourth downs, two out of three they converted. And their rush yards went from 31 in the first half to 168 in the second half. They outrushed Nebraska by 119 yards, 168 to 50. They averaged 4.4 yards per carry. A lot of that was after contact. Got to tackle better. And Nebraska averaged 1.6 yards per carry on the man-to-man coverage. And again, I talked about zone is the simplest thing you can run. You go coach youth football, you're going to run cover three. It's what everybody does. Okay, you put your most athletic kid at safety. Maybe you hide a kid or corner a kid or two a corner, with all due respect, depending on what the age is. And you run cover three, and everyone just has their little zone. And if it's a run, you tell them to err towards playing the run because most people can't throw that well at the younger ages. Zone is the simplest thing you can run. Man gets a little bit more complicated, especially with double tight end shifts and motions and all these things. And then all of a sudden, they're going tempo. This is major Division I college football. We got to be on the same page. We got to be able to communicate. We got to be able to pass off receivers if they're going in motion. Not, this is my new man. That's your new man. Whatever the call is. Just got to be able to communicate better. All right. Illinois pressuring the offense. Matt Rhule said, and I quote, "I'd blitz Dylan Raiola. We were winning versus man. We put four wideouts on with straight process of can their fourth corner come cover Ja'Cory Barney." Man, I need to proofread this next time. Basically, they're saying they're going man-to-man. We're going four wide. And can their third and four best DB cover Ja'Cory Barney? That's what he's saying there. Or Jalen Lloyd, depending on who's on the field. And they started playing a lot of zone because they were losing that battle. As the game wore along, I mean, Dylan Raiola was on fire early, and the adjustment, the in-game adjustment that Illinois made was they went a lot more zone. And we got to be able to adjust back to that. There's man beaters, there's zone beaters, there's cover two beaters, there's three beaters, four verts. Tough to beat if you're in cover two or three especially. And then they started blitzing more. I'm going to paraphrase because this is a long quote. They started blitzing more, they started attacking more. Okay, and that's how Illinois had success in the second half. As opposed to going man, they went zone and started blitzing more and attacking more. We got to be able to adjust to that. Now, final thoughts, we got to go to a break. When you keep the expectations in mind, the black shirts have not played well this year. When you just compare them to an average defense, they're still an above average defense and a good defense, but they are nowhere near, honestly, where they should be. Last year, the black shirts carried this team along with the second best rushing offense in the Big Ten, and the turnovers and quarterback killed us. Play killed us last year. Easy for me to say. This year, we've got good quarterback play. The offense has vastly improved, and now the other side of the ball isn't holding up their end of the bargain. If we could have the Blackshirts play up to their potential, and I say that because I have so much belief in what they can do. If I was a player and I wasn't playing up to my potential, well, first of all, my dad would pick up the phone and rip into me like a monkey on a cupcake. Okay, I would hear all about it. I owe so much to that man, by the way. But you want somebody to be honest with you. If you're doing the best you can, I'll tell you you're doing the best you can. Hey, if you're a 10-year-old and you can't dunk a basketball, I'm not going to rip into you like a monkey on a cupcake. I'm going to be like, hey, man, let's work on some layups and jump shots. But if you're 7 foot tall and you can't dunk, I'm going to be like, bro, we got to work on this athleticism a little bit here. The expectation for the black shirts is there because I believe in them. If they hold up their end of the bargain with what our offense has done and our special teams just be freaking average, I feel beyond great about an 8-4 record prediction this year, which is what I had before the season. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got to head to a break. When we come back, we're going to look at some more of Matt Rhule's quotes. He talks about a whole lot of things. I thought they were very, very interesting. And then we are going to talk about the mighty Pac-6 conference at the end of the day. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We will be right back.